Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see everybody. We're so glad that you're here today on this fourth Sunday after Epiphany. We want to welcome all of you. And a little bit later on, we'll be continuing our series. And today we're dealing with a topic that I think we all face at times, and that is criticism. And how do we deal with that and the challenges that come with that? And so we want to welcome all those that may be listening online this week and tuning in, and then later on we'll be sharing in communion together at the Lord's table. So as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Joined together there for our call to worship in the bulletin this morning. In the midst of the challenges of our lives,
we gather, turning to God, our refuge.
We trust in the goodness of God,
knowing our Creator yearns for all to be saved.
Together we raise our voices to worship God. Well, let's join together there, and we're going to sing that hymn, Blessed Assurance, 416, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory. Purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin. We turn to You, Rock of Ages, trusting Your steadfast love and care. Thank You for the many ways You assure us of Your presence. Bless this time as we lift our voices in praise, deepen our thoughts to gain new understanding, and widen our awareness of Your call on our lives. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I'm going to invite our kids to come down if they would make their way.
And sometimes we did it just kind of out of fun, and then there was times when somebody said something to me, and it kind of hurt. I kind of felt bad, kind of sad inside when they said something to me like that. And I don't know, I can't remember all the details of it, but I do know what happened. And sometimes when people say those kind of words to us, it's not always fun. It's not nice. In fact, it just feels, I don't know, it makes us not have the confidence, or we second guess ourselves, or we think sometimes differently in our head about who we are. And Jesus talks a little bit about that, and we're finding out in our story that the adults have been talking about, where Nehemiah and the people that came back to Jerusalem and are trying to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem because they were torn down because of a war that happened. And while they're doing this, and they're excited, and they're all working together on this project to rebuild the walls, and there's these hecklers. You know what a heckler is? Okay, that's where it's kind of like down at your level, you know. When have you ever had anybody say, or something like that? So what they did is they started insulting them. You can't build that wall. And you know what one of them said? If a fox walks on the wall that you just built, the whole thing will come crumbling down. What were they trying to do? They were trying to discourage them or hurt them on the inside to get them to stop their project, their task that they were doing. And sometimes in life, and maybe you don't experience it now, but as you grow older, sometimes people will say things that will sometimes hurt you and make you doubt that you can do something. And the best thing that we need to remember is that God is with us and that we can do great things in life. And sometimes we may get discouraged, but we got to remember that God is with us, and no matter what mean words people say to us, sometimes they hurt. We got to keep on keeping on with the task ahead of us in life, no matter what it is, okay? All right, you can go on downstairs this morning. And as they're making their way down, we're going to go to our time of prayer this morning. Maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning, and we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. And so we will start with whoever wants to begin. Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, I'll have to change what was in the monthly thing. I thought he was already undergoing treatments and everything. Oh my gosh. That is wonderful. That is really good news. Yes, thank God for that then. Yes. Somebody else? Okay, let's go.
My sister Chris, suffering from severe migraines. Can't get them under control. And then also a friend of mine, Jim Burton. I'm not sure I think it's probably colon cancer, but I haven't found out for sure, but there's definitely something.
Are they testing him now, or do they know for sure yet? Have you heard?
I'm trying to reach him.
Okay.
I talked to him a week ago, and I have not been able to reach him since. I'm really concerned about it.
Okay. Well, we definitely can lift him up in prayer, and then we'll kind of leave it general till we find out more about and get more confirmation about what's going on. So, yes.
Unspoken
this morning. Yep, and we know the Lord knows that. Somebody else. Somebody else. Unspoken, okay.
Unspoken, and Emily now has more complications with AFib.
So ooh.
She's having tests at Miami Valley North, and I don't know if she was admitted last night or not.
Okay. Well, would you definitely lift her up in prayer this morning? Thank you for sharing that. Yep. Somebody else. Yeah.
Ellie and her mother.
Yes. By the way, there is a correction. Whoever told me, and it's nothing wrong, it's sometimes it's just way information. Ellie's mom had not passed away. And at least according to Priscilla, who talked to her a couple days ago. And so we definitely want to continue praying for Ellie and her mom. And I'm trying to remember her mom's first name, but I cannot remember. What? Oh, really? She's a Hawkins. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Ellen.
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 What? What?
Ellen.
That's what I thought they said. Ellen. Okay.
Ellen.
Helen.
Oh, Helen. Sorry. Gee whiz. Oh, well. Well, we know Ellie's mom, so yes. And yes, exactly. So somebody else. Somebody else, yes.
Unspoken.
Okay, unspoken. Anybody else? Yep.
Jerome Tucker in Sydney, Ohio. His grandsons, one's playing pro, and the other's still up at Ohio State. He has developed prostate cancer. He's got 12 of them that's cancerous, and they're taking him out this week. So he needs prayer.
This is Jerome, right?
Tucker.
His son? Okay.
Well, no, it's him himself.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Probably a lot of people don't know it.
Yeah.
I can tell you their names.
That's fine. We'll definitely want to lift up Jerome too this morning then in prayer. Yes.
From the prayer chain, we have still praying for all your family, for Brooke and Jill and Luca. And then we had Chris Hsu with his heart issue. Jan Hart, Ellen Barnes has an autoimmune disease, and the medicine's not helping her. And then also, we want to pray for Priscilla, and she's been having a rough time.
Who?
Priscilla.
Yes,
and,
yes. Yes, yes.
Oh, and my Charles, my grandson in Germany, goes, had the heart episode. He goes to the base doctor tomorrow. So.
Okay. So we want to remember Charles, Priscilla, Ellen, Jan. And who was the one, I missed the name, that had heart issues? The very, like one of the first ones you said.
Charles?
Was that Charles? No, that she said.
Chris Hsu.
Who?
Chris Hsu.
Chris?
Yes, he's a neighbor of.
Okay, that's, yeah, okay. All right, thank you. So we got quite a few there. That's been listed. Somebody else. Yeah.
I'm taking off on the veteran plane next Saturday for
Okay. So travel. Yeah. So we want to remember Diane. Yeah, for travel and others. Because I think I don't know if they've left yet, but Brad and Carla were in sometime in February before they come home. They were going to go out to Kansas for 2 weeks to see Matthew and Julie and the granddaughters. So so they'll be traveling too. So anybody else? Yeah.
Sarah's going to be on a flight Monday.
Okay. So yeah, there's lots of them here and all the ones that are traveling. So yeah. Somebody else? Yeah.
All of those people in the plane crashes.
Yes.
That got killed, especially that little girl that has that operation and everything, and she ended up getting, you know, dying.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we want to definitely lift up all of them. I know I have that written down somewhere. I can find it here. Yep. So loss of the plane crashes, yep, and all that, and the helicopter. Somebody else? Anybody else? All right. Wow, lots of them today, lots of them. And so we want to lift up all of those. And if you have something special on your heart today, encourage you to lift that up while we pray and give you a chance to do that while David has something to play there. And then I'll close us out. As we pause today, we're thankful that we can always turn to you and that you are there for us and that you give us strength and faith and grace. And when we lift up others, we're grateful that you work in their lives as well and in situations. So, Lord, we lift up the ones that have been mentioned today, and we lift up Charles. We lift up those in the plane and helicopter crash. We lift up Priscilla and Ellen and Jan and Chris and Jill and Brooklyn and the other Chris today. And for Jim, Lord, and for Emily and for Ellie and Ellie's mom and for Jerome today. God, we lift up each one of these that have been mentioned. And we just ask for your healing touch, your healing grace, for strength, for faith, for courage in the midst of these difficulties and health issues, and that you would touch them. We lift up and pray for grace and comfort for those who lost loved ones in those that crash. And Lord, those that lost their lives in the fires in California, and the loss that's out there and the devastation that is going on, Lord. And we just pray and lift up each one of these situations and persons, Lord. God, we also pray for those that have been mentioned. There's several there that are traveling, God, that you will be with them and watch over them and give them traveling mercies and keep them in your care and bring them to their destination and what they're involved with, and then maybe their travel back home. And we ask that you will just take care of that. Lord, we lift up the four unspoken requests today. Lord, we know that you know exactly what those are. And so we lift them up to you and voice our agreeance with those that have been praying. And we pray that you would work in that those situations and grant favor and grace and your touch in each one of those. And Lord, if there are those that have come in today and maybe they have a need that they could not share, or something, a burden on their heart that they've been carrying, God, we ask that you would minister and meet that need today and give your peace and grace to each one. Lord, we pray that as we can continue with our service and as we break the bread of your word, may you continue to instruct us and guide us in our lives as we face various challenges. And Lord, we also pray your special presence and blessing as we share at the table, as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup. God, that you would grace us with your love and presence today. And we thank you for all of these things now as we ask him in Jesus' name, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for joining us in prayer today. And once again, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And we want to thank you for your faithfulness. And as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there in the bulletin for our prayer of dedication. Giver of good gifts, may this offering be a seed that will grow, spread, and perfume the atmosphere with faith, hope, and love. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Sometimes the ushers and I will chuckle a little bit when I start to see bags, and I know coming out of the tin pails, because I know right away they're bags of coins, and meaning that it's going to be a lot heavier than what we normally are. So, well, this morning, as we continue our series, we're going to skip a few verses. We're not going to cover everything in Nehemiah, but today we're going to continue our scripture reading. And it's going to go from chapter 2 of Nehemiah. I'm going to read verses 17 through 20. We're going to skip chapter 3, and I'll mention that in the introduction and tell you why. And then we're going to look at chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. So let's begin there in chapter 2. So I said, this is Nehemiah, to them, "You see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem is in ruins, and its gates are destroyed by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we won't continue to be in disgrace. I told them that my God had taken care of me and also told them what the king had said to me. Let's start rebuilding," they said. And they eagerly began the work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and made fun of us. "What are you doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king? The God of heaven will give us success," I replied. "As God's servants, we will start building, but you will have no share, right, or claim in Jerusalem." When Sanballat heard of that we were building the wall, he became angry and raged. He mocked the Judahites, saying in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, "What are those feeble Judahites doing? Will they restore things themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the piles of rubble, even though they are burned?" Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was beside him, added, "If even a fox climbs on whatever they build, their wall of stone will crumble." "Listen, God," this is Nehemiah, "we are despised. Turn their insults to us back on their heads and make them like plunder in a captive land. Don't cover their iniquity or blot out their sins away from your sight. They have thrown insults at the builders. We continued to build the wall, and all of it was joined together, and it reached half of its intended height because the people were eager to work." That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would once again give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, how many of you have heard, and let me just say this, this is just something funny, it's not a theology, but how many of you have heard of the Serenity Prayer? Yes. Okay, this is the senility prayer. Grant me the senility, and you'll know why when I share it, why I said this is not a theology to practice. Grant me the senility to forget the people I never liked anyways, the good fortune to run into the ones I do, and the eyesight to tell the difference. And then this little thing, it's not really a part of the prayer, but this is a little thing that kind of goes along with that whole thing. Always remember this. You don't stop laughing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop laughing. I thought that was pretty good. Yes. Yeah. Well, let's go on and continue our series here on these relational challenges. You know, as I've been working through this series, I can relate a lot to what I'm talking about. And one of the interesting things is if you maybe in your years in your work or whatever you do or in your current work, if you've ever taken any kind of training for leadership or being someone more significant and up the chain of command at your workplace, some of these things are often dealt with. I remember I took a leadership training class back years ago and during my last pastorate, denomination had put it on and in the state of Ohio, and I went to it over 3 days, and we stayed at a camp and did all kinds of things. But some of these things that I'm talking about is things that we talked about in that, and it's all a part of dealing with the challenges of life. And today, we're going to talk about that one that still can get in my crawl at times. And it's the challenge of criticism. Listen to this. The Oxford Dictionary defines criticism as, quote, the expression of disapproval of someone or something based on perceived faults or mistakes. And it's interesting that the word to criticize or to critique, or whatever, or criticism that is used in the New Testament, it comes off of the word that Jesus uses in his famous Sermon on the Mount, saying that we all know, don't judge lest you be judged, or judge not lest you be judged. And it's related to that word judge. So critical, being critical or having a critical spirit is related to that thing. Now listen, we all make judgments about things. Every time we go to buy something, we're making a judgment. We're deciding, is this what I want? Does it have what I need? Is it going to last? Is it going to stand up to what I need it for? We're always doing that. But there's something different about when somebody speaks critical sarcastic words to us because they're in opposition to us. And it's not easy dealing with criticism. And for some people, it can become very personable. Like I was telling the kids, we can get hurt by those words. And they can be challenging. While for others, and I wish I was this way, you know, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not, but I wish I was always this way. I met other people that when people say something to them, it just like runs like water off their back and they just move right on and don't care. And so it's tough at times. But Oswald Sanders, back in the 40s and 50s, he was a big leader in a missionary enterprise in China, wrote this book entitled Spiritual Leadership. And when I read this week, it kind of struck me a little bit here. Listen to his words, quote, no person is exempt from criticism. Now listen to this part. This is what got me. A person's humility will be seen nowhere more clearly in the manner in which he or she accepts and or reacts to it. And I thought, whoa, is that so true? When we're humble, we're more willing to listen, maybe receive, maybe not, depending on what it is. And if it's something legit, which I'm going to talk about. But when we're in the opposite direction, proud, arrogant, we'll always reject any kind of instruction, criticism, whatever you want to say. Now, as we look again at Nehemiah, keep in mind that for the most part, opposition is inevitable. And they're facing it, as we read this morning. Nehemiah had one task, and that was to rebuild the wall around the city of Jerusalem. It doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? But guess what? As all of you know, many of your jobs, many of what you do for a living doesn't really seem spiritual, but you still felt called or gifted in that direction. Amber, could you close the doors? Because I can even hear the kids downstairs. Yeah. But it was his call at this time in his life. And by the end of chapter 2, which we just read about, we hear about how outside opposition began to form against them. Now you got to remember what's going on. Remember we said when I read those names off, they are from Samaria, which is the northern kingdom of Israel. But in this time period, it was just called Samaria instead of Israel. The southern kingdom where Jerusalem was is Judah. And that's where they're rebuilding the wall. So they got basically their northern relatives, spiritually and maybe physically, are coming down and criticizing them about what they're doing. In chapter 3, which we skipped, Nehemiah appointed the workers to various projects of what they're supposed to be doing. And when you get to the end of chapter 3, everybody's got a job to do. But by chapter 4, the opposition and criticism began to increase against the workers. So let's talk about this a little bit this morning and see how it relates to our lives and how we face that today. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is the occasion of criticism. The occasion of criticism. And here's what I want you to see here. First of all, we don't always know why people criticize. I've criticized people. I've criticized situations before. You probably have too. You probably given it and you probably been on the receiving end of it at times. There's various reasons. We might think we could do it better or do it this way or whatever. You know, this could be handled that way better. Or, you know, I mean, how many of you love sports? How many of you like to go watch sports or watch it on TV? How many of you like to coach from your couch? You are being critical. We all do that. I mean, you can ask Butch. He's heard me many times say this should have been done in a basketball game or a football game or whatever. I mean, it's all part. I told Chase what he could have done better with his golf or whatever. You know, and I'm not. He knows more about golf than I do. Criticism often arises when people work together, live together in various settings. I mean, that's just part of life. In our reading, before the wall was half finished, the workers were facing sarcasm and criticism from their local southern nobles and officials from the north. And when I read that and was thinking about that, my first thought is, why wouldn't they be encouraging what Nehemiah and the workers were doing? Why wouldn't they be supporting them? Why wouldn't they see rebuilding the walls and trying to restore Jerusalem as something positive or something to admire? Well, here's the thing, and this is the thing about criticism, no matter when it happens, when we do it, or when we receive it. Criticism often has underlying motives. Perhaps those nobles and rulers, leaders from the north, saw Nehemiah or a restored Jerusalem as a threat to their authority or where what they controlled in the northern part. We don't know. And there's varieties of reasons, and we can't go into it all. I mean, insecurity, projection. I mean, there's all kinds of psychological reasons why too. But here's something I think we need to be able to do, whether we're involved with it or whether we're receiving it. And that's this: developing the ability to evaluate the criticism we undergo is vital. What do I mean by that? Well, this can be hard. This can be hard. Number one, because if somebody at work or whatever comes up and just blasts you for something you just did and throws you under the bus to the boss or whatever, we often don't stop to think about what's going on. We usually get offensive and the walls go up and we want to react or say something back or whatever. But here's the thing I want you to see. First, not all criticism is bad. Sometimes we can learn from it. And we do that by listening with discernment, which is so crucial, and as well as listening for maybe an underlining motive that's going on. Now, at other times, when certain things are said, like we see going on in this story, we must completely ignore it and reject it right away. Don't take it into your spirit. Because as I was talking about, sometimes those things can hurt us, wound us, and stop us from moving forward or carrying out whatever we want to be doing. And the criticism in chapter 4 was meant to deter and discourage the workers from their task. In fact, as the opposition increased, we'll see later on, and I don't know if we'll go delve into it, but I'm going to say something about it now. You're going to see that Nehemiah kept praying. And eventually, he was so concerned about it, he posted guards around the workers as they built the wall because he's afraid that some of those northerners were going to come and attack them to stop it for whatever reasons. And so it's very important to be able to evaluate what's going on when we receive criticism. And we all know this. If we're trying to help somebody and somebody at work and they take it the wrong way, I have to ask myself, did I say it in the right way? Or did I say it condescendingly or, you know, arrogantly or whatever? Or like we say, critically, you know. So all of that has to be thought about, and how we receive it or don't reject it, which depending on which way it is, we need to be able to develop that ability to evaluate the criticism when it comes around. I'm sure many of you, especially if you work now, have to fill out those evaluations. Have you ever had to fill out an evaluation of yourself at your work and turn it into your supervisor? Yep. That's very common today. More so than when I first started out in work. So, okay. So that's the occasion of criticism. Now I want to talk to you about facing criticism wisely. Wisely. Okay. We just seem to can't get away from it in this series, can we? First, we must never underrate the significance of prayer. Nehemiah is going to continue to pray, but this is different than what we've seen so far. And there's a reason, I think, for that. Once again, Nehemiah talks to God about the situation. And here's what I want you to hear. You can almost, well, not almost, you can hear his frustration in his prayer as he's basically venting to God about what's going on. You know, he's like, turn it all back on them, God. Don't forgive them for what they're doing. You can hear his frustration. And as I thought about this, I thought, oh my gosh, this is just like the Psalms of Lament found in Scripture, where people poured out their anger, their frustrations, and their feelings about what people were doing to them onto God to help them deal with it. And I think that's a powerful thing, because sometimes when someone criticizes us and it cuts and we're hurt, we got to be able to talk to God about that. We got to be able to vent that to God or somebody, because if not, as Paul says, we can allow a root of bitterness to get in our hearts and affect us. And as the criticism intensifies, Nehemiah voices his feelings to God even more so. Prayer can be a useful resource by which we can bring our frustrations and feelings to God. And then second thing I see in this is we must stay focused then on the task. Because sometimes or in many times, those criticisms can be turned against us to get us to stop whatever we're doing or praying or whatever. How did Nehemiah and his workers respond to the ridicule of those two men? They stayed determined to finish the task at hand. And it's important to stay focused on the task when opposition or criticism increase. Notice what it says in verse 6, the very last verse we read. We continued to build the wall. All of it was joined together up halfway as it is at its intended height. And listen to this, what it says. Because the people's heart was in it. And that tells me right there, they did not let the criticism affect them. No one's exempt from criticism or opposition. It's such as life and human nature. But when it comes, be ready to pray and stay focused. Because here's what I want you to hear, and that's why I pointed out about they continued their task. Because oftentimes, on the heels of criticism is discouragement. Next week, we're going to talk about the challenges of discouragement. Amen. Amen. Well, let's prepare our hearts this morning, like we always do, for communion as we share at the table together by sharing in our thanksgiving and confession today. And so as we prepare together, let's join together, if you would like to pray this prayer there on the PowerPoint this morning. God, who knows us, we pray that you would form and shape us anew. Remind us who we are and draw us back to you. Transform us in love, correct us with mercy, and lead us with clarity in the paths of love, truth, and peace. Forgive us for the ways that we reject your presence, your guidance, and your will. Redeem and restore us as your beloved creation and active citizens of your reign. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus has told us so many times, when we humble ourselves, we will be exalted. And part of humbling ourselves is making confession and praying to the Lord. And out of that, as we see in Scripture, that He is faithful to forgive us and to restore us and to make us whole. So receive that today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses that are coming to serve us this morning, if they would make their way to be ready. As we prepare to share at the table, you're all welcome to, as I say, you're all welcome to share together and at the table today and receive and from the Lord this morning. On the night on which Jesus was handed over, he took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake. Later, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake. The Apostle Paul told us, as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until we come. Well, turn around, shake a couple hands, and then we'll go ahead and close out with our final hymn there this morning. Well, let's go ahead and get ready to sing our final little choruses there. found on page, if you'd like to go with the hymn book, 618. It only takes a spark to get a fire going this morning. Give him a chance. I think the piano went to sleep on him, so he's going to have to re-enter it, which happened to me one time. Yeah. It's always one of my favorite choruses, saying this as a teenager. Together for our benediction. Beloved, be amazed and amazing in the world.
We are amazed in the presence of the Holy One at work in us, through us, and with us.
Be amazed that God goes with us. Be amazed that the Holy One is our rock, safety, and trust. Be amazed that we reflect the image of God. Amen.